Welcome to the Post Sunday app. Thanks for joining us for this video where we talk about the Sunday sermon Post Sunday and the applications that come from it. If you're listening to this on Spotify or somewhere else, I'm Ben Davidson, and next to me is Daniel Bennett, our teaching pastor. So, Daniel, how are we doing?
Doing well. We need to check. Someone was telling me that it's not uploading to Spotify lately.
Yeah, I think with Mike gone, there's just been a lot on people's plates and just haven't gotten there. But I thought I'd say that just in case it gets on there this week.
Cool.
But 1 Samuel 28.
Yep.
So I probably caught some people off guard that, like, it's not chronological here from 27, 28, 29.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
So that was good to clarify that for us.
Yeah.
The big idea for the message: God has revealed all we need to know to find joy in Him. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote down, regardless of circumstances.
Oh, that's good.
You said it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's no wonder it was good. Yeah. So, but probably a sermon where we got maybe a few more questions than usual, or maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Like, wow, what is this?
And I knew there were going to be questions.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I was like, oh, this is, there's a lot in this passage that people would have extra questions about. And so I was kind of debating, okay, which things do I include? Which things do I cover today? And the things I thought were going to be a lot of questions on, there weren't. And then things that I didn't, I didn't think that'd be a question, there were. So, glad we have the mulligan here.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So probably the biggest section of questions, we'll try to cover kind of all of them at once, if I understood you right before we started, was just, okay, Samuel.
Yeah.
Who was this? What was this demonic spirit? Mm-hmm. Samuel himself, was he in heaven? Was this?
Yeah.
That there's a question there somewhere.
Yeah.
If you want to find it.
So let's kind of take the different components of that. So, one, if this is Samuel, some people say, well, does that mean that this one, necromancy works and the spirits are subject to some woman or man doing things, and a soul of a departed person has to respond. So no, that's not what it means.
Okay.
The woman is surprised. She's surprised that it works. Whoa, is Samuel? So
yeah.
This wasn't something that happened typically. Mm-hmm. This is God. If this is Samuel, this is God being gracious, it's his judgment really upon Saul by for whatever reason, God allowing this to happen, appointing this to happen. So this is not typical. It's not something we can manufacture. It's not something we can replicate. This is, so that's how I'd answer that concern.
Okay.
The other concern would be, well, why is he coming up out of the ground? Why is he in heaven? I mean, or since Samuel's in heaven, was he coming out of hell? I mean, that's where a demon comes from. And I think that was probably the question, one of the questions I got the most. Isn't Samuel in heaven? Isn't Samuel in heaven? To which the answer is no, not yet. Right? Today, yes. Mm-hmm. But, in the Old Testament, there's a book that I have not read yet, so I want to be careful recommending it. Mm-hmm. But I've heard, I'm still thinking through the central tenet of the book, which we won't get into here, but it addresses some of these issues. And I don't know how to pronounce the name of the book. Crux, Mores, and Ferry by Sam Renahan. Mm-hmm. It's about it's about the clause in the Apostles' Creed that talks about how Christ descended into hell, or descended into the dead. So, kind of talking through the different options of how to interpret that. But what's helpful in the book is that it discusses Sheol. That's in the Old Testament, you see people talking about the place of the dead, the abode of the dead being Sheol. And I'll just read the conclusion to one of the chapters about the underworld and the afterlife, particularly about how the Old Testament describes both the righteous and the unrighteous to say they're going to Sheol. So here's taking all the kind of biblical evidence, which in some ways isn't a ton. The scripture in the Old Testament, particularly, we see these things in shadows sometimes. But here's the conclusion of this chapter. This chapter is presented the Bible's teaching about the underworld and the afterlife. Sheol is under the earth, the invisible abode of the dead. It is a tiered or compartmentalized place the righteous inhabit Abraham's bosom, being comforted there. And so you have the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and how Lazarus is in this place of comfort, mm-hmm. and the rich man is in a place of torment. The wicked inhabit a lower compartment of Sheol, Hades, or the abyss, suffering torment. The farthest reaches of the pit, the deepest tier of Sheol, are reserved for the imprisonment of wicked angels. We see those described in both the Old and New Testament. Sheol is a temporary place of confinement. Wicked men and angels will be banished to the outer darkness of the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20:10. So that's what's going to happen eventually to Sheol. It's eventually going to be cast into hell. But the righteous, what we see in the testimony of the New Testament, is that Christ, I think what we're seeing there is he delivers them, he rescues them, and brings them to heaven with him in his ascension. So they're not still there in Abraham's bosom, or this place of Sheol, where the righteous dead, those who trust in the coming Messiah, reside until Christ's death and resurrection.
Okay, so the one that says Samuel came up out of,
yeah,
you're saying that is from,
yeah, Sheol. I think so. And there's a lot. I mean, do we have temporary bodies before the resurrection body? I mean, Samuel's wearing a robe, and so he's somehow visible in some ways, but he's also passing through material things. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So not a demonic spirit.
I think he's not a demonic spirit, because there's nothing in the text that tells us that it's not Samuel. Hmm. The way you would get that is by saying, well, if it's Samuel, it contradicts these other passages, you know, prohibiting talking to the dead, or saying that the dead, you know, and I don't stay dead. And I don't think that it necessitates contradicting those other passages for it to be Samuel.
Okay. So you'd say this is something that God allowed to happen in his sovereignty at this one point in time, but not a practice.
Not a commended, bad.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And it's also not, you know, he doesn't have the same body that Samuel doesn't have the same body there that he will after the resurrection. And so that's still a future event awaiting Samuel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, all those questions were so easy, I thought I'd let you handle those.
Yeah,
so,
you know, thanks.
Let me get on to the next question here. Were the Amalekites descendants of the Nephilims in Genesis 6?
Yeah, so we've talked about the Amalekites before, and I didn't really touch on that. But so in Genesis 6, we see the Nephilim, and they're associated with, I think, the demonic realm somehow influences some sexual immorality, and children are born out of these unions. I don't think those are demon babies, but I think there are children of relationships that are heavily influenced by the demonic world. Mm. They're in Genesis 6. Mm. And then in Numbers 13, when the spies come back from the land, some of them say, we saw the descendants of the Nephilim there, the Amalekites, or the Amalekites. But the Amalekites, we know, are descendants of Esau and his son, and so forth. So I think that the spies there are exaggerating. That word Nephilim can also, some people think it just means giants. Mm-hmm. So it can mean fallen ones or giants. And so they're just saying, man, these guys are bad dudes.
Yeah.
And we know that the whatever those descendants were in Genesis 6, then the flood takes place, and so that bloodline is wiped out.
Okay. Okay, bad dudes.
Bad dudes.
So the Greek for dude is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Anthropos, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so what about this idea of just other means of revelation?
This was...
Casting lots, okay, you know.
Yeah.
I was driving and I thought of, you know, milk came to my mind, and I think God put it there.
To
tell me to bring milk to my neighbor who has a baby, or, you know, just other means of revelation in general, casting lots being one of those that was specifically asked about. How should we process these things?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I had several paragraphs on this in the sermon,
Oh, yeah.
And not just on this, not just, I thought Lot's might come up in terms of seeking God's will.
Yeah.
And Revelation. Sign gifts, you know, there's some.
Sure.
So, I decided not to get into all that, so let's just go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay,
no.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. So, here's the heart, here's the main issue. The main issue in this text is we can't be trying to avoid God's special revelation in his word. Mm-hmm. And that's what Saul is doing. So, I think you can debate about the appropriateness of casting lots. I don't think it's a commended practice. I don't recommend it. But I think a believer who's still trying to be in submission to God's special revelation can disagree with me on that and use lots.
Hmm.
Don't recommend.
Okay.
There's in the charismatic movement, there are some clear, just way off the rails things that happen in that movement that we would say that is clearly unbiblical. That's not the way to be. Just you're rejecting God's special revelation. You're practicing these gifts in a way that is clearly unbiblical. But then you have guys like John Piper that are open to the sign gifts as a means of determining God's will. But they're not rejecting God's special revelation to pursue those things. I don't believe.
Okay.
So it's a different heart issue. It's a different category of issue than what we're talking about here, in my mind.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, if I would encourage a person not to, that's why I try to make that statement. Look, hey, let's pursue God's special revelation in his word. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And be pursuing this as a means to know what God has told us to do. The Spirit's going to speak to us through the word, and nothing that contradicts God's word is authoritative, and nothing that someone tells me to do that's not in God's word am I bound by.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be kind of my big picture thoughts.
And
there
probably there's an essence here too of I know I can spend so much time thinking about should I do this or not without thinking about my number one priority is just radical obedience to the word of God, you know, out of joy and of my salvation.
Yeah.
And said, boy, if I focus there, maybe the other things kind of work out.
Yeah, it's a good thought.
So, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Anything else for today's post Sunday?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure we're missing stuff. I got a lot of good comments and questions. And again, you're dealing with the demonic world and the spiritual world and the Old Testament and
So. Well, as of right now, I think we'll be able to do a post Sunday app next Monday.
I think so.
So if we anything else more. Comes up, we'll cover more there.
And our to New Covenant believers, I think we don't. There's no Sheol now that we go to. When Christ is with the Father, we're ascended and we're in the presence of God in heaven and so that's
good to clarify
our intermediate state.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us on the Post Sunday app. Have a great rest of your day.